Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and I'm here with my older brother, Taj.
What's up?
How you doing, Taj?
Good.
TJ is not with us today. He was going to be late.
He's not fired.
Yeah.
Yet.
He had something to do and couldn't make it. He was going back and forth, and the traffic is really bad. So he was going to be late anyways, so just told him we got this. We don't want him in the studio. Yeah. But what's up, Taj?
Nothing much.
Anything for the week?
Oh, our week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a lot. Still working on the music video, which is going really well. Looks really great. I'm supposed to turn it in soon, but yeah.
And then do you want to talk about yesterday?
Do you want me to talk about
it? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday, the foundation, DDJF, we hosted a dinner at BOA for our dear friend Dave, who passed.
Dave Strasia.
But it was mainly for his wife, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible event because for me, obviously, it's our friend, but at the same time, it's been a little while, but Stephanie, you know, the support that mm-hmm. she received, the people that showed up, a lot of friends, Buckley friends and stuff like that, it really, I don't know, it was touching to me, because there comes that time when you're like, I hope people show, because it was a Tuesday, we're Wednesday now, so it's Tuesday night. And mm-hmm. people are busy and stuff like that, but everyone showed, and
it was a great outcome.
It was a great outcome and great energy, and you could really feel Dave there was right. there, and right. that was the amazing thing. Everyone was having fun and laughing, and Stephanie, before we even did the event, she was like, Dave's usually the one that introduces me to people. He's the outgoing one, and I get that, you know, and. And so it was great, and she's so wonderful anyway. So it was like, I felt really good, you know, doing it in that way. And that's what it's for. That's what we're trying to do is help people get through that or help try to get. You don't really get through
it. Yeah, it's difficult. It's with loss, it's never easy. And Stephanie, she said yesterday that obviously she was happy we were having it, although she wished we didn't have to have it, but she was thankful.
I liked what you said and
well for when
the when you came back up.
Yeah, so I'll share that real quick. Yesterday we all spoke.
Yeah.
We came up and spoke to the room, and I wanted to say something, but I didn't.
Yes,
because I'm not really I don't really enjoy speaking in front of people, and I didn't say anything.
Yep.
And you know, we sat down, and it bothered me that I didn't say anything because I knew I should have. And I was just thinking, it was so bad. I was thinking about how I'm going to talk about that in The Power of Love, how I didn't say anything. And after doing the show for a week, it helped. Or doing the show over time, you know, it has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Dealing with grief and just facing certain things. And, you know, no one likes to talk about loss and grief. It's not really a fun topic to discuss, but I just realized in that moment that it's not too late. You know, mm-hmm. I can still do something. Yeah. So I got up and I was talking to Steve actually, and I told him I have to say something. So he got the crowd to quiet down, and I told the story that I wanted to tell, and happy I did.
I'm happy you did too. It's you could tell how much it meant to Stephanie as well, because the thing is too Dave was in your class.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I mean, we all played baseball with Dave, but Dave was in your class, and I think that meant so much to her to hear that part of Dave, because at the same time, she wasn't around during that Buckley time.
Right,
so
right.
any little piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. you know, it's a big puzzle, and you gave her a piece, you know, of like that she can have with Dave in that way. It's like, oh, there's another piece I can put in the puzzle.
Right, right. And it's her birthday today, so we want to wish her a happy birthday, yes. Stephanie. So we are live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will open up Twitter. Taj will be on Twitter.
Yep.
Do you want to give the handle?
Yeah, it's at DDJ Foundation.
Okay, and go ahead and do the disclaimer.
Okay. I usually don't do the disclaimer, but we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we wanted to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us.
Well done, Tosh. All right, so we have a great guest here today. And we're going to discuss some things. Obviously, if you like to call in, there's a call-in number. I'll give it real quick. It's 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. Our guest today, Angelica Terrazas.
There you go.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Power of Love.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
Me.
You know what? Can you come a little bit? There you go.
Is this better? Can
yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
Don't do what Taj does. How are you?
Well, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'll start. Won't you tell us a little bit about yourselves? Where are you from?
I grew up in Santa Paula. I work in LA now primarily. I own a licensing company, so I work with a lot of celebrities in the development of their product lines and, you know, things like that.
Nice. Oh, do we have a...
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
So stepping into the room is Rebecca yes. Fearing. She is somebody who helped me quite a bit manage nice. My grief and deal
in.
With losses. She's a medium.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, one more time. Rebecca.
Rebecca Fearing.
Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for waiting for me.
No problem. So tell us a little bit about your first experience with loss.
Yeah, so the first person I lost that really made a big impact in my life was actually my grandfather. And I was a teenager. So the reason his death was so impactful to me was because growing up, he was my idol. He was my safety net. I grew up in an environment where my mom, she just didn't want to be a mom. Let's just mm-hmm. put it that way. She went off and started her own life. And my dad was an overwhelmed single father. And it was me to kind of pick up the pieces. And it never really, my life growing up, when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't bother you. You're just dealing with life, right? But I was very alone in taking care of my siblings and, you know, just doing my life. Because, again, my family was overwhelmed and distracted, except for my grandfather. He was kind of like Kanye West. I was the genius in his eyes. So every award I would win or a spelling bee or whatever, he made the biggest deal out of it. And it meant so much to me because he was the only one who made a big deal out of it. Everybody mm-hmm. else was, I could be jumping off a bridge and they'd be like, we're too busy. Everyone mm-hmm. was too busy for me. So his passing was such a shock for me because he was like a bill of health. He was, you know, he was invincible. He's my grandpa. You know, he's not going to die. He was my savior. And he, you know, got diagnosed with cancer, and 6 months later he died. So it was hard. And it was really hard in seeing how my family reacted. The claws really came out, you mm-hmm. know, with mm-hmm. that and with wills and all of that, and wishes weren't taken care of. And at that point, it really shook me, and it really made me... you know, want to protect legacies moving forward in my life. So that was my first experience, and I really saw it from bird's eye view. I saw things, you know, just unfold in a way that they shouldn't have, essentially. So that was...
How old were you?
I was 16.
16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's quite... I was 19 mm-hmm. when I lost my mother. So that's a very young age.
Yeah.
And it's almost that it's that transition phase where you're still trying to figure out
exactly,
you know,
going, exactly.
You think you're an adult, you know?
Absolutely. And that for me, you know, he was the person that I respected, and again, he was like my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so 16 is a young age, and 18 is when I opened up my first business, and 19 is when I worked my way up. And I had all these pivotal moments in my life where I was just like, I just wish he was here. You know, I wish I could ask him, is he proud of me? What did he think of this? These are all the moments that I really wanted him for. You know, as a kid, you're a kid. You know, mm-hmm. it's little things. But now we're at these huge, pivotal, life-changing moments, and I don't have the person I always would have always gone to talk to. So it was definitely a hard age.
Yeah, it's a big loss, especially losing someone so close. It's you realize how big the loss is when you have these big moments in your life,
yeah,
and they're not around. Mm-hmm. You know,
did you always did it force you to mature earlier, or were you always mature? Because you said 18, you started your first business. Were you always like, or did the death force you to be like, okay, I have to kind of step into this role of being more adult?
That's a great question. You know, unfortunately, the way, I don't want to say unfortunately because I think I'm fabulous and I turned out great. the way I was raised and having, I was kind of raised by wolves, put it that way. So I was always forced to grow up. So if anything, his death kind of took away my childhood because that was my safe place. When I was with him, that was my opportunity to be a kid and not have to worry about things and what was for dinner or what, you know. He used to have me go up. He lived in Santa Barbara. And so I would spend the weekend there, and that was my weekend to be a kid and not have to worry about anything. You know, I got to be a child. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that it forced me to grow up. It just took away, you know, my joy growing up, you know.
Yeah, you get those responsibilities where you're pretty much, you have to do it now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. I think it was somewhat similar for my brothers and I, where we had to, when we lost our mother, same idea, where we had to step up and be more responsible. Would you agree?
Yeah.
You're looking at me.
No, I'm just hearing what you're saying.
No, that's what I think. Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Here, let me shake your hand, too. Well, I was raised in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
And I have always been, I'm a professional. By trade, I'm a medium, psychic, healer. But I was born like this. It's not something that I really chose to do. It rather chose me. And I have suffered great loss. And even with all the information that I've known, let me tell you guys, sometimes we cannot prevent something. I lost my daughter 8 years ago, 17, Sarah Rose. And I was predicting it, and nobody listened, including her. And so the loss was so devastating, not only because she was my child, it is child to mother, mother to child, they said is the worst grief you could possibly have. And being who I am and being well known at what I do and losing my own child, and predicting it, that's the hard part. And people have said to me, well, if you're so psychic, why'd you lose your daughter? Well, I'm going to go up and ask God that, okay, because I don't know. You know, we have free will, and things sometimes are out of our control. Now, grief is the worst thing. I deal with grieving people all day long, but I also have physical evidence that there's no death. And I was very lucky to have a visitation by God. This is true. I've seen Jesus 3 times, and I've had total divine intervention. An angel appeared to me, and I was grieving so bad. I mean, you guys, you lost your mother. It's mother to child, child to mother. It's horrible. Not that I say that your grief wasn't.
No, absolutely.
I was very close to my grandfather. He was my father figure. Mm-hmm. But I was so lucky in some ways, or so blessed, to have so much divine intervention that I was able to move forward past the death of my daughter. And she communicated me in a way that is almost miraculous. And having that support system from the divine, you know, I mean, I don't know, but when I was so sad and so grieving, as you know that big black hole that opens up? And when you have a sudden death, I think like your mother too, no time to prepare for it, it's another double whammy, right? Because we don't expect it. And you guys being, it's kind of reverse. I lost my child, you lost your mother, but it's bad. And so having that divine help when I was really, really, really grieving very badly, and I was just beside myself, an angel appeared to me. This is a true story. And she said to me, and she has a sweet, sweet voice, and she said, my, oh my, your son has a new big dog. And by the way, Rebecca, you need to stay here. Your son needs you. Go back. And that was the day that I woke up, because my son had written, I didn't know this, the day I lost my sister, I lost my mother. So I had to wake up real quick, pull my boots up, and just carry on. But without that complete divine intervention, which I'm very blessed to have had, I don't know. It wouldn't have been so easy. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, I went, you know, I was raised religious. I went to Catholic school. I believe one God for all people. But my faith isn't from that. My faith My faith is from actual physical visitations. And this has nothing to do with the paranormal. It's the divine. And without that, I would never have survived this. And I help every single day grieving people. That's what I do for a living, every single day. And I have to tell you guys don't know this, but I have a slight connection to your family. Mm. I just met Paris.
Really?
With Kathy Hilton at her birthday party.
Wow.
Yes, and yeah. Also your Michael and LaToya and everybody. I grew up in the Valley. We used to go Skateland.
Yep, yep, I know
yeah, Skateland, right?
Yep,
and so I know LaToya, and she's so sweet. She's so pretty, too.
Yeah.
And, and you know, so there's kind of a connection in a way, because really we kind of, you know, like Michael and LaToya, we were kind of all running in the same circles. We're like Michael and I are the same age. And and there is a connection in some way. So when, and I have that radio show here for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, I have Dancing with Ghosts, and I do it on Wednesday at 7.
Wow.
So I've been with Sam for 10 years here in LA Talk Radio. So when I was invited and Angelica said, "Do you want to come?" I said, "Of course I do. Of course, why wouldn't I?"
I love it.
Yes, and so that's my connection. I started at Universal Studios in the movie business, and then God guided me to this. So that's kind of my story.
That's great.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for both of you, I guess. With loss and grieving, I know for me personally, guilt is... Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I call it the coconut guilt. Because when my grandfather passed away of a sudden heart attack, and my grandmother felt really guilty. I mean, she shouldn't have. He knew he had a heart problem, we found out after, and he didn't tell her. But she said, "I feel so guilty because we were in the market at Ralph's and I didn't let him buy a coconut." I'm like, "Grandma, come on, you know, I mean, maybe there was a reason you didn't get in the coconut." So I call it the coconut guilt, because I go over could have, would have, should have. I'm a psychic, I had a premonition. You just don't know what I did. I yelled, I screamed, I called the police. You name it, I did it, and I could not prevent that. And so the guilt that you have no matter what, you know, what if I had been home? What if I had said I love you one more time? What if I could have found the right doctor if your loved one had cancer, right? What if I could have seen that my love was emotionally distraught? You know, I mean, we go over it and over it and over it. It's actually quite common. But the one thing, if you get caught in it, then you get depressed. And once you get depressed, then you are also like, I hate to say it so bluntly, you're like, the dead are more alive than you.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And grief is that big black hole that takes 5 years to close up. It takes 5 years. It's not an easy process.
You said earlier that you predicted that you were going to lose your daughter.
Yeah, I did.
Did you have any guilt?
Oh, my God, enormous. I took her to France, and she was really good there, and I came back. But I came back because I had Vincent. So where do you go? You keep one there and leave one here? I couldn't. I just didn't choose to do that. And so, yes, enormous guilt. But I have to tell you, and this is a true story, it's a pretty famous story. My daughter communicated with me 3 days after she passed. I know where she is. I know exactly where Sarah Rose is. And I know she's with God. Okay? I know 100%. I am probably the most unlucky to lose a child, but the most lucky to know where she is, that she's safe, who she's with. And God has schools. Sarah said to me, "Mom, they're making me go to school." "Oh, well, Sarah, you're only 17. That's what you need to be doing, okay?" Now, so God is such a, like, I don't know what your belief system is or if you believe in God or you don't believe in God, but I will tell you, I witnessed, there definitely is a God. And Sarah went to school. Sarah has a full life. Heaven is like a real working world. So your mom, you lost your beautiful mom. She wasn't very old, right? Your mom's...
No, she was 39.
Yeah, I was going to say 38. Looks about 30. I don't know anything about your story. I know your mom died suddenly, though. Mm-hmm. And I do know this, that she drowned, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or she was found in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know if you want me to bring that up. But, you know, and that she looks really young. She has the nicest personality. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody loved your mother. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, and she's like so full of love here, so full of love. And your mom and my daughter are in what I call the 10-star hotel. All right?
Yeah.
Did she want to leave you guys? No. Did she want to leave you motherless? Absolutely not. I don't know, again, how much you want me to bring up about this and the mystery of how your mom ended there, but there was, you know, this whole backstory to this, and she would like to talk about it, but I don't know if I should talk now about it, but maybe you can, if you want to, you can ask me later.
Okay. Sure.
But she does tell me a lot about you guys. I will tell you this, that my daughter knows every step of the way what I'm doing. It is proven now that she's helping me like a little angel on the other side, mm-hmm. physical evidence of that now, that your mother is doing the same. She's telling me so much stuff about you guys. I have no clue about you guys. I know your dad is Tito, right?
Yeah.
But that's about it, okay? Mm-hmm. But oops, I'm sorry. But your mother is filling me in on all the ins and outs of your life, your houses, maybe your girlfriends, I don't know.
That's great. I love it.
And I will tell you this 100 guarantee, and all the listeners out there, your loved ones can hear you. It's multidimensional. It's mine is spiritual. It's also scientific, you know, and also that I have so much evidence of heaven that I have absolutely no fear of death. You know?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and your mom is very funny, too. I mean, she's making me laugh. So did she have a good sense of humor?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Because she's like, when you guys were little, because I think there's a lot of you. I don't know how many brothers there are, but she's like showing me when you're little, and she was playing with you and tickling, and she likes to send you music. So this has nothing to do with being a Jackson. It's just music. She keeps sending it to you.
Interesting.
So I don't know if you think of her sometimes when you hear certain songs or something, but she's going to make sure she gets that to you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, so when you have such a strong belief in the fact that this is one big universe and we just zoom from dimension to dimension, the grieving becomes much more easy.
It's wonderful.
And does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I was telling you earlier. There's mm-hmm. nothing that has brought me closer to faith and obviously taken me the furthest away than dealing with death and dealing with losses and, you know, that whole journey. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in terms of your losses, how many, because mm-hmm. I know you mentioned your grandfather. I know you have a string of them, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's a total of six, you know.
Six
losses. And interestingly, they were the people that I was the closest, and they played very pivotal roles in my life. You know, the last one that passed, I think I told you about a little bit. You know, we were texting the morning that he died. You mm-hmm. know, so yeah, it's definitely been a journey and understanding and trying to move on. I will say though, the very last one that happened, that one broke me. The other ones I was able to say, well, they were a little bit older. Like your grandfather, it's the circle of life. This one, it didn't make sense to me, and that's what I was talking to you earlier about. At that point, I lost my faith in the system and God and all of that, because I'm like, how can you rip this away from me? You know, after everything I've been through, after all of this, why is this being torn? So.
And he was 26.
26
right?
years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just one of the most beautiful people in the world. I mean, he's so adored. They did a great job with his legacy, but just a bright, bright light. So you just get to this point where it feels so unfair. And when I learned of his passing, you know, I broke down, but it wasn't for me. It was for him. You know, he was so ambitious and had so many goals and was on the cusp of so many things, and I just felt like it was so unfair, you know, for the future wife, for his future children, for his future friends. You know, how can the world be robbed of such a great person? And that's where I just felt like none of this makes sense and none of this is fair.
Hmm. Can I tell you just a little story about my grandfather?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My grandfather's name was Salvador Maniachi. He was a Sicilian man. And he was like a rock. He was my father figure. And in the, like, the 1930s, 1929, and then during the Depression, and also then around the time of World War II, he was very close to his mother. And she's this little tiny Sicilian lady. And he said, Ma, there's no God. God would not do this to humans. I'm losing completely all my faith. And she said, No, son, I will prove to you there's a God. When I die, a little white dog will run out and bite your wife and your daughter on the ankle, and that will prove to you that there's a heaven. Well, lo and behold, the day she died, my grandfather wasn't with my mom and my grandma, because my mom said she played the flute, I guess, and they were walking home from flute lessons. They lived in Ohio, and they were just walking along, and a little white dog ran out and bit my mother and my grandmother on the ankle. And that is the day, 100%, that Salvador Maniachi, the greatest man that I've ever known, regained his faith in God. And he could also see the future. So, you know, that was something. I dreamt of him after he died, and he was all dressed in white, and he was so electrified, like, he said, Rebecca, you can't hug me, but I'm okay. And that, again, having so much physical evidence of heaven, it does help the grieving process.
Definitely.
You know, so I think faith is and the gentleman, we talked about him. Mm-hmm. Why would God take such a wonderful person? But I said, why'd God take my daughter? Why'd God take your mother? Mm-hmm. Maybe God just needs good people up there. I don't really know. But if your listeners are listening to anything, find your faith anywhere you possibly can. And be careful that you don't get hoodwinked into people that are taking advantage of you because of your vulnerability, right? Because the grieving process makes you very vulnerable, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, right? And you guys look like you've come through it. I not only lost my daughter, I lost my first boyfriend. I lost my best friend. I have also had several losses. But each one of them, I guarantee you, I'm probably not the most normal person. Each one of them has given me a physical evidence that they're in heaven and with God.
Do you feel like that it's because you're so open to it? Because sometimes I feel like... with people that I do believe in terms of like I call it the Obi-Wan Kenobi in terms of for Star Wars, like in terms of my mom's still there, she's guiding me, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just I physically can't see her, but she's there.
Oh yeah.
But I was open to that in a way, and I see signs of it because I am open to it. And do you feel that like the more open you are to it, the more you'll see it, or the more you'll actually...
Right. I was genetically born like this. It's actually the pineal gland on the top of your head. I was scientifically even tested. So it could be genetic because I'm so open to it. But people that really, they like to send hummingbirds, those are easy signs because the birds are like multidimensional. They go back and forth. Hummingbirds, butterflies, sometimes dragonflies, you know, they work with electricity because everything's electric, right? Yeah, because I think that everybody gets a sign, but if they're closed and they're putting too much energy that it might be evil or something, then you lose it, right? Because that's how I learn to be even more open to it, because I can tell the difference, what's of God and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, for me, what I did is, this is after I felt like there was a connection. The first person I was able to connect to was my grandfather, and that was in a dream. And I'll never forget it. It was before I had met any mediums or psychics of any clout. And we were on a golf course, and it was like he was hugging me. And I could feel his hug.
You're right.
And I didn't have to question that. I didn't have to. I just knew. And that's one of the things that... And moving into this, I, you know, have no intentions of being a medium or any of that, but I can sense energy, and I can sense when it's your loved one, and you'll get an overwhelming burst inside, and you just know it's them, you know. And as far as signs, you know, Rebecca's told me about things like that, but I've straight up been like, we're not doing that, guys. You're not gonna freak me out if you wanna, because I do. I'm such a scaredy cat. I'm like, you can come in a dream, but we're not. I don't need to see anything flutter around me. I'm good.
I love it.
I'm so used to it. I'm like, okay, another day in my life.
But so in his death, that's brought me the furthest away. And Taj, you knew me right when I had quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting this huge company, and I had all of these big deals on the table. I actually had a meeting with Venus Williams, the tennis star. Mm-hmm. And that was like a week and a half after his death, and I canceled it. I was like, I can't do this, because I just felt so disoriented. And then the fires hit. I lived right in Ventura. And so now, you know, I've lost my job home, even though I'm the one that left, but I still lost this sort of comfort zone. I lost him, who I was very, very close to, and I shared all these things with. And now I'm being taken away from my physical home.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Oregon, and I just was like, okay, I'm giving up. I'm tapping out. I can't, you know, this is too much for me. I've totally given up. And the only reason I came back to California was because of a legal matter that I had to, or else I'd probably still be in Oregon doing I don't know what. I was like, I'm getting rid of my car. Like, I was just done with it, you know. And, you know, Christmas was just sad. I had gotten really sick. And then New Year's came around. And for me, it was just even more depressing, because everyone's talking about New Year, New Me. And I'm like, I just want to feel like myself again. I just want my old life back. You know, that's all I want. So that was hard. And I remember, because his name was Brendan, he was the sixth death. And by that time, I'd already been able to connect with spirits, and I'd already been to mediums. But I had this in my head that I didn't want to connect to him until I felt like me again. Like, I didn't want him to see me this depressed and this out of it and this not I just didn't want that, you know? So about a week after New Year's Eve, I'd gone to a big fight with my family, and bless my family's heart, they just don't know how to console me. They're just not. I was the caretaker, so yeah. What are they going to do when the caretaker's upset? They're just like, we don't know what to do with you, and Angelica, get it together. Yeah. So I got in my car, and I just started driving and listening to music. That's what I do to soothe me, and that's actually what I did last night before the show, because I was so anxious. I was just scared to go back to this place, you know. So I got in my car, and was tuning everything out, and I just started thinking about him, but thinking about some of the fun memories, some of our jokes, some of our conversations, some of the just all of it, and I just kind of realized, like, I do want to go visit his grave. Like, I didn't go to the funeral because it was too much for me at the time, but I was like, I want to go try to connect. So the next day, I went to the cemetery where he was buried. And again, I didn't go to the funeral, so I didn't know where he was buried. And in my head, I thought there would just be a directory. I don't know what I was thinking. And then there wasn't. Yeah. And so then I was like, I'll just go to the grave that has the most flowers. Well, that just didn't work. Yeah. So for like an hour, I'm like going, you know, in circles, kind of like casually, like, oh, is that? No? Okay, no. People are like, what is this woman doing? You know? And then eventually I saw this man in a golf cart. And I figured, okay, he probably works here. So I flagged him down and I was like, I'm looking for, you know, and I was so nervous. I don't know what to say. My friend, I don't know. I'm looking for this plot. Can you help me? And he, sure enough, you know, they knew exactly where it was, and he dropped me off there. And I wasn't in tears just yet, but I was starting to get emotional. And he looks at me with the most sympathetic look, and he goes, you know, we have some plots nearby. If it's never too late to start planning. I took everything inside me not to start laughing, but that was the first time I'd actually, you know, found something to be funny because I was so depressed. And so once he left, I just kind of started talking into air, I guess, and I'm like, can you believe that? What the hell was that? Yeah. You know, because I feel like if he was there, he would have been like, what now?
You can be my neighbor.
Yeah, did you really just try to sell her a plot? Like, what's even happening? You know, and I sat there and I just kind of made conversation. It's like I wanted to connect with him, but I didn't. Like, I was just afraid, you know, and that's just that feeling of, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, I was just nervous, you know? And so I was like talking about the plots next to him. There was like an Asian family. I'm like, oh, you probably have some good conversations. There's some nice shade. just small talk to not get to it. And then finally, I just was like, you know, I just am really sad that I didn't get to do life with you. You know, we had plans for Christmas. We had plans for businesses. We had plans for the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so I just told him, I'm like, this sucks. And then I told him, because our relationship was a lot different than his relationship with a lot of other people. He was a lot like me in the sense that he was always uplifting other people and always finding broken people. But that's what I always did. I always found broken people and uplifted them. So we were like each other's motivational speaker. It was kind of weird. It was like two Tony Robbins in a friendship. And it just so happened at the time that we became close, I had a lot going on. So I was able to help him with a lot of things. And I never needed his help, and he always wanted to find a way to help me. And so I was sitting there, and I was like, look, I know I said you don't ever have to help me with anything, but I don't know how to pull myself out of this. I don't know. I'm stuck here. I've never been depressed, and I don't know what to do, you know? And I just, you know, sat there and cried or whatever. And then the next day, it was like, it wasn't like everything was gone, but just like a little bit of a weight was lifted off. Mm-hmm. And every day after that, it just got a little bit better, mm-hmm. you know? And this is like at the beginning of January. And then about mid-February, I decided, let me reach out to some of his friends and family, you know, because I hadn't done that. I didn't, as we talked about earlier, a lot of times what happens when people die is that the family becomes sort of the therapist for everybody that has lost this person. You know, everyone's dumping all their feelings on them. They don't get to heal. So I was like, I can't. I was just nervous. I don't want to reach out and bother them. But they had this Facebook group, and I had some texts from the morning that he passed, and I'm like, I'm just going to share it with him because I can share it now in a way that I'm not devastated, in a way that more of this is some fun memories that happened. And being able to connect with them was really the first start of my really big healing, you know, because I didn't really know that they knew about me, and they knew all about me, and they were super warm and super loving and validated a lot of things, you know, and, you know, made a comment of, there was something that popped up that I don't want to go into detail of, but I had to sort of defend something with a TV show that involved him. And I was always kind of going back and forth, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? And they were like, he trusted you with like 100%.
Well, there goes the guilt, you know, because the guilt is part of the grieving process. Every single person, and I have talked to thousands. I had a mother in my office that fainted right off the chair, right in front of me in my office. I've had a client that has lost all three kids. Two sons on Sepulveda Boulevard, swerving for a squirrel. And then I saw a little girl coming. She came, and then she had a heart condition, and she passed. So I've kind of like told God, you took one. Don't you dare take the other. You know, but I have seen the worst of the worst. Sometimes you see things on television, and you'll see a heinous crime or what. They'll come in my office. So I have been exposed to more grief than I think most people could possibly handle. But that doesn't mean that my grief was any less. Mm-hmm. My compassion is greater. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it is. It takes 5 years to even to start to feel, I hate to say that, where you start to feel like you can manage it. Because grief, it doesn't leave. It just becomes manageable. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was crying and somebody in my own family said to me, Rebecca, just suck it up. I'm sick of seeing you cry. I just lost my daughter a month ago. I'm not going to stop crying. I might manage it, but there's also going to be that grief. It's always going to be a little bit there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what I've learned from the work that I do. And also, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You're only losing the physicality of this relationship. We don't see God, but most people think there's a God, right? You still have a relationship with him. You're still sharing birthdays and your kids and your stories. Mm-hmm. You have to wrap your mind around that, because I have physical evidence that I wouldn't even begin to tell you on the show. It's on my show. Let me tell you something. That death is an illusion. It does not exist. And we never lose our connection with our loved ones, ever. And I have physical evidence of that now. Mm-hmm. Through technology, through spirituality, through, you know, I mean, it's a big story. It's a long story. Let me tell you something. I'm honored to be here. Mm. You know, I lived in the same neighborhood as you guys, okay? My office looks down Havenhurst of Gelson's, freaking at your house, old house, you know, the house over there? So, and knowing your family, I mean, and getting to know them, not the story behind the stardom, but the actual people. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Yeah.
You know, getting to know, even though your mother's passed, I'm getting to know your mother sitting here with you, even though I have no history on her, just the fact that she died suddenly, seeing you guys. And now I will say that I have the honor of knowing her, even though she's not physically here.
Yeah.
But she is here.
Yeah.
And you have to wrap your mind around that. And then it does help the grieving process.
Yeah, no, I have. You know, I definitely have.
But it's going to take time. And when you cry, you guys, I don't care how old you are or how long it's been. You just put your sunglasses on and you cry.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's part of what grief is. If you don't grieve, it's bad, because it'll come up in unexpected places and unexpected times. And sometimes, to tell you the truth, people have done heinous crimes because they have not taken time to work through their grief, and they take it out through violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we don't want to do, and we want to help people not to do like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
We've had a couple calls, but I wasn't able to grab them. I have a quick question. This is for both of you. Can you've said that you've dealt with a lot of people with grief.
Oh, tons. Thousands.
What is some of the main differences between sudden death and those that know they're about to lose somebody?
Well, this is my thing. I have clients. I have one client, and suicide is different than like a sudden death, almost like a drowning or what happened to my daughter, unexpected. So it's a whole different ballpark, and it's a whole different form of grieving. It is terrible. Okay, I have a woman, she didn't know why, her husband said hi, walked through the kitchen, bang, right, shot himself right in the backyard. That kind of grief is very different, because there are layers and layers of grief and pain, and there's violence involved, and they become a victim of this. So that takes a lot of counseling. It takes a support group. It takes a lot of faith. I mean, it's terrible, okay? All grief is terrible, but that's another layer That's terrible. Now, sudden death. I've had people that lost people in plane crashes or drownings, mm-hmm. or like my daughter's sudden death of, you know, she went to a party and somebody talked her into something and nobody called the paramedics. Okay? So, you know, and so that's also, and being a psychic, mm-hmm. how did I not stop it? Okay? So that's another layer. Now, if you have the time to sit by your loved one's bed and you look in their eyes, and it's not, I'm not saying it's any easier, it's different grief. Right. And you hold their hand, and they say, look, I'll make contact to you. You know, oh, sometimes, oh, my God, I see my loved ones coming. Many times, like, the heavens will open, and they'll say, my mom's there, my dad's there. There are people waiting. So you have actual that physical comfort that they're being met and greeted by their loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. And you have time to talk about it a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying it's easy watching people suffer with cancer. You almost wish they would just die of a heart attack, right? But for me, it's different types of grief. Suicide, sudden death, disease, children, terrorist attacks. I've had people that came, their loved ones died in terrorist attacks. It's all terrible, but it's different levels. Does that make sense?
Does some of that have to deal with it's the unknown? You don't. There's so many questions, and it's mm-hmm. obviously it's too late to ask, and you right. don't have that person to ask questions to anymore.
Right. I just had a gal that I sat next to, and I was talking to her just randomly. Sometimes I do little plays and stuff, and then I would sit next to her. I didn't know her, and then I saw this guy that had passed away, and she was very close to, and he died in a plane crash. And what I was able to do for her, though, was to give her closure a little bit about what went on in that cockpit. And she said that what she had suspected, too, because there's something, you guys know, they're not to scare everybody, there's something called dry lightning. And you can't see it when it's coming down on a plane. And it's a different thing than physical wet lightning, I guess. And so I could describe to her what I saw and what had happened and describe that at that moment there was no pain involved because it was so sudden. And that validated for some of the things she knew and gave her closure, because then I was able to go past that event and in now to the afterlife and give her a very, very detailed message. Not just, oh, your mom loves you, or blah, blah, blah. Very detailed. I also am able to get names, last names and first names of people. Mm-hmm. So that to me gives them very much comfort for that moment to help them see, okay, I'm not going to look at the moment of the heinous crime or the tragic event in the plane. I'm going to get out of that for a minute and I'm going to step away, and then I'm going to get back to where he is, how he is now, and how he's able to communicate. So it's a very interesting job I have. And, you know, whether it's not, oh, I'm the greatest psychic. No, this is genetic. We're all psychic. Okay? It's the amount of healing that I'm able to give a person when they come in my office and they're basically going to commit suicide over this. They can't live. They can't breathe. They can't barely eat. And then somehow the good Lord intercepts, you know, what I'm doing here, and then helps me to give them that closure to see that the person's not in pain anymore, or they're not the murder victim anymore, or they're not suffering in the plane crash anymore. You know, that's where I think that I help people in the grieving process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes. That's a lot of information there, but yeah, it does.
Well, because I didn't go to school for this. I've just learned it by the thousands and thousands of people that I've talked to. And, you know, and I've learned so much about what really goes on and how we're not really taught right here. Mm-hmm. We're not. We're taught to be afraid of death. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If you make it there safely, you're friggin' in the net. You are. You are in the 10-star hotel. Heaven is so beautiful and so loving. A real working world. They eat up there. Let me tell you guys, I've heard that they have hot pizzas up there, okay?
We're going to take a phone call real quick.
Okay.
Hello, who's on the phone?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling the Power of Love. Who is this?
Yeah, hi. This is Michael from New York City.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
That's good. Well, I was just listening to the show, and I actually have a story I would like to tell about grief.
Yes.
Okay.
My grandfather died about 6 years ago or so. And I saw him two weeks before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And when I came back from visiting him, my mother told me, and that was a shock. And, you know, I cried for the first few days, but then, you know, in memory of him, I look at pictures, I remember all the good times that we had, and I eat special foods that he used to eat, so, you know, I just, it's the memories that I have that helps me get through that.
So you kind of can try to connect that way in terms of what you shared with him. Is that
right? Exactly. Like, his favorite dessert was flan. So once in a while, I'll eat flan in memory of him. So, in honor of him also, you know. Yeah.
Love it. I love it. And that helps you kind of cope with it then in that way.
Yeah, it does. And I also look at pictures in the photo album and just remember all the good times that we had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always look towards the future. Thank God my grandmother, his wife, is still alive. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I also have that. I speak to her every so often. So that kind of helps me with that connection.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that helps. And also, like, you know, when my wife has to go through grief, dancing helps her a lot, and music.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Music.
And listening to your show. That helps a lot also.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, thank you so much.
Also, my wife is here, and she just wanted to say hello.
Tell her hi.
Say hello.
Yes.
Sure.
Hello? She's coming on the phone.
Oh, right.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm a little bit nervous. It's my first time calling.
Yes, I know. How are you doing?
I'm doing finally okay. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good.
Yes.
We've heard,
I don't know what to say, so I'm going to give the phone back to Michael.
Okay.
Well, thank you for listening, though.
We've heard a lot about you.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Love you, too. Keep dancing.
Here's Michael.
And there's the famous wife, Nicola.
Well, thank you for calling in, Michael.
Yes.
And for sharing.
My pleasure, and thank you for all the awesome work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
You have a good one.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, take care. He calls in quite a bit.
Yeah, which is great.
So thank you, Michael, for that. We have a couple more minutes left, and mm-hmm. we usually towards the end of the show, we like to mm-hmm. open it up if there's anything you want to say. Or
sure. And then I won't hog it. Don't worry. The one thing that I wanted to share, especially when Michael was talking about flan and eating in heaven is full of music. You know how the saying living color? It is literally living color. And I think that God doesn't want us to remember too much about it because we have a job down here. We're here on assignment. And it's not that easy here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you have to not, one thing you have to know, that heaven has lots of food, lots of dancing, lots of music, and is beautiful, okay? Here we have all those bits and pieces of it, but the number one thing I can share with you guys that got me also, not only the divine intervention, do not lose your sense of humor.
Yes.
You know what I did to get also through my grief? I took a comedy class. Ooh. I was so sad, I couldn't stand it. Okay, because there's nothing, you can't describe it unless you have it, really. I mean, we can talk about it, but until you experience it, unfortunately, you don't really know. And so I took this comedy class, and I was rather good at it, to believe it or not. And it really took me out of that, I can't lose my sense of humor. I can't be this grief-stricken. I can't. And I did perform some comedy. Wow. Which was really fun, and that has also been a saving grace. So I'm not going to say that your circumstances were funny. I'm just saying don't lose that sense of wonder, that sense of awe, you know, and that being a kid still, right? Because once you lose that, you got it. You're going to go down. You know what I mean? So that's what I wanted to share to everybody.
That's great.
And that I'm glad that you guys invited me here today, and I hope everybody out there, you know, is took a little something away from us today.
I'm sure. And help there?
Yeah. No, just really quickly, I just wanted to say a couple of things that normalize the grieving process that we talked about a little bit before we started. You know, in dealing with the deaths and helping others console through this, one of the things that I've noticed that people say a lot is you have to move on, or they're in a better place, or, you know, it was their time. Those are some of the most heart-wrenching things to say to somebody who's grieving, and I want those to know that are grieving, when you hear those things and they break your heart, it's not, you're not alone in feeling that way. It's, you don't ever want to lose a connection, you know, and it's a big moment. So, and just understanding sort of the process, like my process, I go from being really upset about the cliches, you know, to really angry, to not understanding, to feeling better. And it's really just something that you have to take day by day, and you can't beat yourself up over. And I mean, you were mentioning 5 years. If it takes 20 years, it takes 20 years. And I think it's just understanding that you're never going to get over a loss, and you shouldn't, because they're not gone forever.
Yeah.
No. In my
still
opinion,
that connection.
You know, yeah. And it just takes time. It takes patience, and you know, and understanding. And some of the first readings that I did with you, they were very profound things. And then as time went on, they were like silly things, like, "Hey, I like your hair, and how did that date go the other day?"
My dad
was like, "You better call Michael back. He's a great catch." You know, you realize they haven't lost their personality, their humor. They're there through every moment, through every milestone. They're there with you.
Yeah. Right.
That's very well said. We're going to close the show. We're out of time. We want to thank you, Rebecca and Angelica, for joining us.
Yes.
And for the listeners, we hope you, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you got something from this. If you want to know more about DDJF, please visit the website, www.ddjf.org. Taj, anything?
Just, Nicole has a birthday today, so happy birthday,
happy
Nicole.
Happy birthday, Nicole. All right, we're out of here. We want to thank you guys for listening. We will see you next Wednesday. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.